you call the roll, please?
Mr. Carrasco?
Here.
Mrs. Johnson? Mr. Jergens?
Here.
Mr. Moses? Mr. Rogers? Mr. Roos?
Here.
Mr. Williamson?
Here.
I see that we still have minutes dating back to the Phillips issue.
They were never approved.
Well, I guess we need some, I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes that's presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No. Motion passes.
You vote no?
I'm not gonna acknowledge that I read them, George, as long as they went on, and that they're accurate. It's okay, they passed. Okay, our first case tonight is SE13-0004. CrossFit Living LLC, George Parent Manager, property owner, Windishman family.
Good evening, Patty Hitchcock on behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. This first case is a special exception request of CrossFit Living LLC to operate. Oh, yes, thank you.
Would you swear in, please?
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Thank you. It's a request to operate an indoor recreation facility in the M2 zoning district. Last year sometime, we adopted a code amendment that would allow indoor recreation in the industrial districts by a special exception in recognition of the special building types in the industrial area that seem to lend themselves to recreation indoor. This particular request is for a bay at 2331 Northeast 17th Place. It's for Unit 201, which is one of the N units. The proposed use specifically will be of a strength training and fitness facility. It is the gentleman requesting this is a personal trainer, and he will have 5 to 6 clients that he works with at this location. The site plan they provided, because this is a somewhat recently developed property, and the unit they are looking to occupy is this end unit where the parking spaces are adjacent to it. Staff is recommending approval. We believe they've met all the thresholds required for granting them a special exception, and we recommend approval, but subject to this being the special exception being granted to CrossFit Living LLC for Unit 201. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You're limiting this just to this one unit?
Yes, sir.
How big is that unit?
1,500 square feet.
Is there going to be outdoor activities?
No.
No. Is it? Okay. Any other questions? City? Would the applicant like to speak?
Seems like it will.
She explained it well. There's not a whole lot more I could add unless you have specific questions.
In your case, is the adjoining, swear in, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
George Parent, 214 Southeast 30th Avenue, California.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is there any likelihood that you would expand?
Not in that building.
Okay, fair enough. So you're satisfied with all your requirements. Any questions of the applicant? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Your motion
to accept.
Audience. Anybody else in the audience?
Excuse me. Is anybody else in the audience who would like to speak to this matter? Any discussion among the board? Motion, please.
Move.
Second.
Motion, second. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Jurgens?
Yes.
Mr. Moses?
Yes.
Mr. Williamson?
Yes.
Mr. Carrasco?
Yes.
Mr. Ruth?
Yes.
You may start.
Good luck.
At this time, we're going to have to continue to wait, apparently. Is that correct, Mr. Carrasco?
Yeah.
The doorbell just rang out there. Maybe there's somebody else coming in. There we go.
There we go.
I mean, I think we're mistaken on how to handle that, because I think you start the meeting with a quorum, and that means if there's, everybody's got a conflict, you don't vote. You don't have a case, which that's not.
Did you turn in a conflict?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just saying is I don't think that would preclude from having a meeting. It's.
Well, if you didn't have enough to vote on the issue, we would have to table this issue, but we now have enough.
No, but you're missing my point.
Huh?
If only one person is left standing because five others have conflicts, there still will be a vote by one person.
Yes.
I don't think one person can make the determination.
I don't know what you do. We don't have to go there, but.
Okay.
Hello.
Fred is on his way up.
Huh?
Fred is on his way up. Mr. Rogers is on his way up.
Okay. We'll let him get here then.
Would you explain to me what, okay, Charlie, this is his deal. He's gone.
Yeah.
Where's George?
George, this location is close enough to George that he feels that his opinion could be tainted one way or another by its proximity to his business. And he wants to go home early. I don't know. Who knows? It does. We have four people. We're okay. Okay.
Mr. Rogers should be coming.
Oh, well, yes.
He should be here right there.
So that means if we feel like we're going to hurt somebody's feelings, we can include ourselves?
If you have a financial interest, if it was occurring adjacent to something that you own that could have an impact on.
That's because it's close.
Yes, physically close.
I don't understand.
I'm not sure that's a viable reason, but it's, you know, it does. I mean, for instance, in many cases, a church can prevent this, or if you, of course, now not the new churches, but in the past, a church that was allowed in the adjacent to your property could prevent you from doing certain things. Now, the new churches, they don't have the right to control alcohol. You can't set up like perfect church, yeah, or grits of this. Hello, Mr. Rogers.
Hi.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, our next case is SE-13-0005.
Patty Hitchcock again, and I am still sworn. This is a special exception, SE-13-0005. It's a request to allow a church in a B3 zoning district. The location is 40 Southwest First Avenue. It's a former party store. It's about 7,000 square feet internally on this particular level of the building. It's our understanding that there will be a bookstore to one side, likely some offices in the rear, and fixed seating in order to keep the attendance down to no more than 100 seats per service, which is what staff has requested. 100 seats per service, no more than two services on Sunday, with evening Bible study limited to 40 seats, and that would occur midweek, which would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. This is the front of the building from some years ago. And our concerns in looking at this, in limiting the number of seats, was parking. This is within the parking exempt zone. But in looking at the area, there seems to be 30 to 35 parking spaces in the immediate area. Typically, with a Sunday morning use or a midweek evening use, there would be a peak demand for this particular type of facility versus other downtown businesses. There could be some positive synergy between them, but we wanted to we wanted to have some cap on the maximum number of attendees in order to address that. Staff has been out to walk through the building with the building department to take a look at this. We've provided a condition of approval that the applicant would submit a life safety plan that needs to be looked at so the building and fire department can determine what code upgrades may be necessary for the building. And of course, they would have to comply with all of that prior to occupancy. With the conditions of approval, we've recommended that this be granted to the church itself, that this would not be a special exception that would run to the property owner or to the, with the property. We want to give them an opportunity to operate the church, but as they grow and perhaps move to another location, if another church wanted to go in this location, it's something that this board should have the ability to revisit. So the conditions of approval are that the special exception would be granted to the tenant of the building. I will need them to provide the actual legal name of the church so that we can tie this approval to that. That they would provide the life safety plan required by the building and fire department and make any building modifications necessary prior to occupancy. That there would be no more than two services on Sunday, each limited to no more than 100 seats. And that Bible study would be no more than 40 seats and would be occur midweek, limited to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. And that the Board of Adjustment should consider a time limit upon which this work should be completed. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
The staff has not determined the time limit for the completion of this work?
I would say 6 months would be a good time frame.
This would be any work that would be a function of code adjustment. This is prior to actual activity, but
yes,
then or before.
As it stands right now, we haven't made a determination as to whether or not there are firewalls between the adjoining units.
Okay.
There aren't fixed seats in there, so that the occupant load would be based on the square footage, which could exceed, could trigger the need for fire sprinklers. But if they come in with a life safety plan to show how that space would be used, that may be something they can keep the occupant load under. But we need to look at that, and I think that's something they should be able to complete within 6 months.
Your perception is 6 months. They should be able to complete all of their necessary modifications to meet your requirements within 6 months.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what all the requirements are until they provide us with the life safety.
Well, nevertheless, they must be agreed. Well, they'll have their chances to speak about that.
Yes,
are there
sir.
Any questions of staff?
Do we have any response from the community, pros or cons?
We have not received anything in our office.
Could you explain again? What parking they'll be using, whose parking they'll be using, and what businesses are all circled around this?
There is on-street parking as well as a city parking lot. I can get my mouse to work. This is a city parking lot back here.
Is that behind, that's the back part of their
yes,
building?
Yes, this is the entrance to the building.
Gotcha.
Okay, so this is a city parking lot. There's also this parking which is on-site. And there is on-street parking in these locations.
Is this in an area where there is, in fact, no real parking requirement required?
That's correct. This is in the parking exempt area. But it's
okay.
Just something we're
looking at. You've addressed that, but the truth is there is no requirement of the applicant.
There is no requirement, but by virtue of the special exception, we can look at it for impact on the area.
And you're comfortable with this?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions of the staff?
Well, not to get away from that subject, so what is staff's opinion about the midweek parking demand versus this application?
The evening demand is highest in the downtown on weekends, Fridays, Saturdays. So by restricting the Bible study to midweek evenings, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, we believe it'll be off-peak to the demands of the businesses in the downtown.
And you've had no response from neighboring businesses, property owners?
No, we have
about
not.
About this application?
Were they all notified?
We mail notices to property owners within 300 feet.
And there was also a sign posted on the facility, right?
Yes, we do post the property as well as place an ad in the newspaper.
The parking on the north side of this, is it restricted during non-business hours?
I believe that is also a city lot. Yes.
Okay, so the one directly across the street to the north is available to the public?
There may be some restriction on that lot 8 to 5.
Okay, but regarding this Wednesday evening issue, because the Sunday morning thing, certainly the activity of downtown is pretty non-existent.
You're correct.
And the only time that you're going to have a potential conflict of all would be during that evening, and you, okay.
And that's why we limited that seating.
40 people?
45.
40 seats, okay.
It would be about 15 parking spaces.
All right.
You know, there's when you look at it, you're drawing people to the downtown area, and yes, they're going there for Bible study, or they're going there for services, but while they're downtown, you know, in the evenings, they may, maybe they go to dinner before or after Bible study, you know, so there is the opportunity for synergy. We, you know, staff did not want to take the position no when, you know, the idea is you do want to have different kinds of uses that
yeah, downtown's pretty vibrant in the evening, that's good. Okay. Any further questions from staff? Thank you. Would the applicant like to speak? Would you both please swear in for the lady?
Yes, could you state your name and
Tony
address?
Tony Wilson.
Address, please.
2300 Southwest Hayden Avenue, Ocala, Florida.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Scott Sumner, 4701 Northeast 36th Avenue, Ocala.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Well, this is Tony Wilson. She is actual tenant of the building, proposed tenant of the building. As far as the restrictions that the city is requesting, staff's requesting, what I have a hardship with is the continuation. If this tenant vacates the building, if we stick with the same conditions that they're asking us to maintain with this one, I mean, the limited, you know, service times, the limited Bible study numbers of people, why that should not be able to continue if it's a like-kind tenant. I don't see why, you know, I should maybe pay to come back and do the same thing over again if we keep all the conditions the same, number one. And I think Ms. Wilson maybe addressed the other questions.
Regarding that issue, let me ask staff to speak to that at this point. We historically, do we not, all special exceptions are issued to the applicant, not the property owner. Is that not correct?
That's generally correct, yes.
Except Rose Bowling and Sosa didn't got the exception from the building, I believe, which is recently.
For
we didn't get, they didn't get one.
I think they did.
I don't think so. Well, that's
I was going to say 95% of the time that is how we've handled it. In looking at these, where there is a building that is established for a specific use, like a repair garage where they're installing the hydraulic lifts, I've been more inclined to have that run with the land because they're making those improvements to the building for a specific use. This particular use may require some improvements to the building in order for it to be accommodated as a place of assembly. However, we're looking at limiting the scope of this church in order to have this opportunity to have the synergy in the downtown area. But if we're wrong, then when another church comes to go in, we can learn from that experience. If this is a wonderful addition to the downtown that we all hope that it will be, and another church comes, then we can use this parameter to allow another church. Just didn't want to have this run in perpetuity with the land, in case we were wrong.
I have one other question that brings to this issue. At one point in time, and maybe the magnitude of this is why, wasn't staff allowed to make the determination on commercial locations for churches as opposed to the Board of Adjustment?
We did do a code amendment several years ago Prior to that code amendment, churches were special exceptions in the B2, the B4 districts.
Every one of them had to come here.
Every single one, yes. And we amended that regulation so that churches were no longer special exceptions anywhere except in the downtown area.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your response. Any questions regarding this particular matter of the... Okay. Would you like to continue with your presentation?
Yes. The only thing I'd like to address, or that we have a concern with, is the 40 limit on the weekdays for the Bible study. If the church is allowed to have 100 seats on Sunday, prior to even having this meeting, what we did was talk to private businesses with private parking that's adjacent to this building and actually got approval to park our members. We weren't even considering using the 15 allotted spaces. We really had no use for them because we had talked to adjoining businesses. There is another church that backs up 2 hours to where the building is. We had already talked to that pastor and membership prior to, because we knew there was going to be congestion with the other businesses, and we didn't want to be a hindrance coming in with a bigger membership with, say, 60 people there on a Bible study night. So we took it upon ourselves to go ahead and sit down with that church, and they said no problem. Our Bible study is Wednesday night. You know, your Bible study could be Thursday night. You can use anything that you need. And we just fill out paperwork with them, and that was the response that we got from them. So we never actually considered the use of a lot of the private parking during the week. We had planned prior to, because it's a city and because I know downtown is limited in parking, I didn't want to come in with a service or a church, you know, a church service, and hinder the others from being able to run their businesses properly. So we've actually talked to the pastor at Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church that sits directly behind us, and they've got a lot of space that's private space. One of my other members talked to one of the law firms that's there. They said anytime you need our space, it's available, you know, after hours for use. And we talked to the owner of European Car Clinic, Jeff. We've known him. He's a family friend of many years. He said, fine, no problem. Just let us know ahead of time. So I came in today to introduce that because it was never our intent to actually use, you know, during the week at any point, any of the city's parking. We had made prior arrangements. And I don't know if we bring in a letter from the various companies, if we can get an amendment to that.
Okay. Here's one of my concerns a little bit. Downtown is certainly very vibrant at times. I don't know what it's like on Wednesday night, particularly as opposed to some others. I certainly would expect it. But the parking intensity down there, when I have been there to attend a restaurant, mm-hmm. It's pretty tight. It's difficult to find a place to park. Now, the truth is, irregardless of who allows you to park somewhere, you have no control over where your parishioners park. Now, you can ask them to do that, but the truth is they're going to park pretty much wherever there's a vacant spot. That's what we all do, I think. Beyond what the city's requested limitation are, I think the only thing that I would support additional parking was that it would require, I think, a specific agreement with the city that made sure that was acceptable. I'll share with you my thoughts about that, because if you really think about this, who's going to monitor how many people come there? The city's not going to be down there counting people. The only thing that might potentially occur is if, in fact, there's a negative impact by too many people downtown, whether it be yours, parishioners, or others, the problem will arise and nobody will know where they are, where they came from. So I think the ability to monitor that is pretty limited. But does anybody else would like to address that issue or any other question of the applicant?
How many members did you say you have right now?
We only have about 55 members. 55. We're not a huge congregation right now. But we get a lot of members that come to Bible study.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to turn anybody away because it's my job. Yeah, I showed up with parking. Yeah. I kind of think where it was going, and I understand your point, you know, you don't want to put a restriction on that. But at the same time, if you've got an agreement with the church behind you, mm-hmm. I mean, there's, that takes care of your problem, whether you get an exception for us or not. So I think you might be covered either way. And I don't know, staff, you can respond if they really start having a bigger parking issue, is there, and they want to get letters from other surrounding companies, can that be changed at all?
Well, I mean, staff can't control who parks where.
Well, no, I'm not saying you can't control that, no.
Right, the typical scenario that I think would happen in that case would be, you know, if we had any interaction, it would be complaint generated. Be that the church has too many people parking in all these parking spaces on Wednesday night. Didn't you limit them to 45 people? They have 90, 100, whatever. If they had a contract with it, as Mr. Williamson said, we're not going to stand at the door with a clicker and count people. We're going to respond to a complaint. If they had a contract with a parking lot that was down, the parking lot down the street to the west, I don't think it's ever going to become a problem.
Yeah, that's, I feel the same.
If the problem occurs, you have to be able to find the source of it. Okay.
Okay.
Are there any other questions regarding this issue?
No.
Do you have further presentation?
No, that's it.
That's it? Are there any questions at all of the applicant by board members, being the lady or Mr. Sumner?
Mr. Sumner, you said that you'd like this to stay with you guys, property owners. Are you doing all the build-out?
Depends what the build-out requirements are. You know, prior to this step, we had consulted with an architect who gave us the parameters that we may need depending on whether it's strict seating, you know, at what point we'd have to put in sprinklers and stuff. I think if we got to that point, we would have to have a lot more direct input with the applicant, long-term leases and all the other things that would, and work out the full-time parking solutions. There are some things that's going to have to occur, build outs just to make it really suitable for the 100 folks that they're going to have. But what all that is, we'll get with the city and find out.
Okay.
The problem is, this particular, we have a lot of, you know, any assembly, any church, whether it's 100 or 10, we're doing the same thing. We're coming here. The building department always got the ability to control what we do in every building every day. They come up with a new law statewide, and boom, we're doing something different, retrofitting everything we have. So the building department is always a safety net to say you've exceeded your capacity or whatever. But we do get a lot of inquiries on assembly, churches, or somebody that's, you know, teaching some, you know, the Dale Carnegie class in there. You still have to have an assembly. I'd still be here probably doing the same thing I am right now. And it's, you know, if we went back to what staff said on our basic approval, then I don't know why I'd have to pay another fee to come here, waste possibly 3 months of tenant income. And if it's, when if they vacate and it's suitable for 100 people and it worked, then I don't know why we wouldn't be able to continue that, you know, with another step. Even if you just want to, you know, raise the flag up and say, hey, we'll take a look-see. But by the time you pay the fee and you wait the 3 months, and they've been very patient. I mean, they came to us wanting something the next weekend. And here we are. But if you met the same criteria and did the same rules and regs you want us to do today for Ms. Wilson, it ought to work for somebody else as well.
But did you ask staff for that, for it to run with a comparable tenant hereafter?
We had a meeting with staff, and it really didn't come up. We were discussing what we thought this particular applicant was going to do. And quite honestly, I don't have a huge problem with the things that they've requested. I think building department's going to be a lot more, probably a barrel of grenades compared to what y'all would throw at us on what we'd have to do to exceed that 100 people occupancy load. But again, if we do it, whether we do it, she does it, it's still going to be, somebody's going to spend the money to get the building appropriate for that, what we're requesting. And I don't know, you know, why we should be limited to have to come back and do it all over again.
Well, I think staff pointed out one thing that I think has merit. This is, the parking issue at night is probably the only potential hiccup. Mm-hmm. And if it proves to be a problem, I don't think we would want to allow that to continue. We might have to live with it. I mean, other than that, by and large, I've always been a little bit curious why, if an application for a business or whatever occurs in a given location, why it matters who operates it. But there are times, picture this, you open a real estate office with three people and Foxfire buys them out. Now you got 50. Things can change, and I think all of the things about special exceptions, we are required to address the potential of those issues. In reality, nobody can monitor how many people's in that building. It's not going to happen. I mean, we can make all the rules we want to make, but who's going to know unless there's a problem of real consequence? Are there any questions of Mr. Sumner, or do you have any further?
But as you know, sir, if you opened it up for a restaurant, I wouldn't have to be here. We could have a lot more seats there, and the only person that would probably be upset is another restaurant that didn't get that particular person. And we'd just be putting more people downtown, but they would be in a compliant.
But that application doesn't require the special exception, so it is not assumed that that has any potential.
Oh, the restaurant would?
But I assume you said, I thought you indicated it would not.
No, it would not, I don't think. I mean, I think it would be approved, wouldn't we?
I have no idea. I would think so.
It's a use by law.
Huh?
The restaurant would be allowed by right.
Without any special exception.
Right, you have to make the modifications.
Right.
And there's not really too many things you can think of. If you can bring 100 people downtown a couple times a week, I don't think there's too many merchants that would be upset about that, normally.
Unless it prevents their customer from parking, they'll probably be
yes, sir.
Happy.
Or if I told them I was going to bring 100 people downtown, they might give me a nickel a piece to bring them.
Does anyone else have any questions of Mr. Sumner? Does anybody else have any questions of the applicant at all?
I do.
Go.
Tell us who you are, who your church is, and how long you've been in existence.
I'm Tony Wilson. I'm an ordained pastor. I've been...
I'm talking about your entity, your church.
My church has been running now for 2 years. We grew out of a very small building, just a very small group of people, and we've just consistently grown. My church is built more around going out in the communities. We go out, we... take the children out, and we teach them how to go out and just share the word of God with others. So it might be why we stayed small, because a lot of people don't go out, but we're willing to do that. We go out and we try to reach the community at the point of their needs. We've been a church now for over 2 years, and we're not so concerned as much about how many people are coming into our congregation, but that the people that come into the congregation have a heart for other people, to help people. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that is a basis for my ministry.
Well, just for the record, what is the name of your entity? What are you incorporated?
It is called the Pressing Place Church.
Are you a nonprofit?
Not for profit.
What's the name of it?
The Pressing Place Church. We were developed out of Matthew 26, 36, and 46.
Okay,
is there something else?
No, I just wanted to establish who the tenant was.
The Pressing Place Church.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not for me.
Thank you for your presentation. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to this issue? And Mr. Carrasco?
George Carrasco, 2145 Southeast 5th Street. I own O'Malley's, which is probably 100 feet away.
Hang on just 1 minute. Let's go one step further.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
I guess no other business owner showed up, which is probably a good sign. And I'm not too hung up on, you know, I was on the Downtown Development Commission when we expanded the parking exempt zone. In my heart, I don't believe that just because the church is up for a special exception does it fall out of the parking exempt criteria. I mean, what you're really saying is we can put a shoe store in there, we can put a restaurant in there, and we could ignore the parking requirements. But the minute we put a church in there, we got to start talking about parking. I don't think that's what the parking exemption was designed to do when it was implemented. The parking exemption was implemented because those buildings have zero lot lines and they have no parking areas. that's why that is in a parking exempt area. As a business owner, I can't say that I want your restaurant there because they're going to spend more money than the people that are going to come to church. How do I know that? How can I say that? How can I look you in the eye and say the 100 people a night that'll come to the restaurant are more valuable or less valuable than the 100 people a night that come to the church? That's not what that parking exempt ordinance was designed to do. It will have whatever goes in downtown that brings 100 people will have an economic impact on my business. That's why I felt strongly that I had a conflict, that I couldn't stand up there and not declare a conflict, because I think whatever comes in that close to my business will have an economic impact on O'Malley's or other property that I own downtown. I'm gonna disagree with you for a moment. There is a mechanism in place to dictate if too many people are in a building. If they have a sign on that wall that says their occupancy load is 100 people, they better stick to it. Or if something bad happens, they're gonna go to jail.
If something bad happens.
But they can come by any time. I mean, they could come by on a whim. If the fire department's doing occupancy checks that month, which they do, they could come in there on a Sunday and do an occupancy check. Church down the street may get mad because, man, that church is busier than ours. We could call the inspector and say they got too many people. Anybody can do it.
Have you ever had an occupancy check?
Absolutely. On the busiest night of the year, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
You were pretty much a magnet for that probably, but nevertheless.
No, but they went to everybody.
The activity was, not
they
you.
They went to everybody. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I'm, but okay. I'm going to say, you know, I wasn't involved intimately when the Downtown Development Commission encouraged City Council to vote on the parking exempt environment, downtown the exception. That's a big deal. I mean, could you imagine Reno's? They open a restaurant, they got our seats for 150 people. Where are they going to go buy a parking lot at? There's none available downtown. So that's why we have that parking exempt environment. I don't think in my heart that just because it's a church that you can drop the hammer on how many parking places they're going to need. As a business owner, I'm tickled pink that she's gone and negotiated some parking places with neighbors. I think that's a big deal. That's a plus. You know, I'd love to be able to drop the hammer on my employees to make them not park, you know, in places they shouldn't park. So I welcome them downtown as a business owner. And I think the city's done a good job to try to make sure they don't have a negative effect on downtown. But at the end of the day, they're in the parking exempt world. And I don't think you can take them out of that world just because they're a church.
I don't think we've attempted to. Has everybody spoken that would like to speak?
I got a question for staff.
Okay.
I noticed that we have a maximum of 100 seats. Is that the occupancy of the whole building? Since George brought that up, what is the occupancy of that building?
Well, the occupancy will be established by the life safety plan. Right now, it's over 7,000 square feet of just open space. So the occupant load could be 500 persons. They're going to need to submit the life safety plan. I was there with the building inspector. They're probably going to need to install fixed seats, a stage for the front of the church, put in some partitions in the back to make offices in order to get the occupant load down below what would trigger the need to install fire sprinklers, as I believe that's their goal.
And that's kind of why you guys are looking at the 100 seats. Like, or is that all they want? Is that what we're going to license?
The 100 seats was really tied more to parking in the area than it was to the life safety plan and the building code improvements.
But the applicant's good with 100 seats. That's
when we met with the applicant, yes.
Okay. So that was somewhat of a negotiated number in a sense. They were accepting of that. Does anybody know if the life safety plan makes it difficult to cross that line? Or has that been addressed at all? I mean, to some extent, the code issue is not our issue at all. We don't have any control over that. You know, and I don't have any issue with the parking issue. I mean, if you think about it, part of our responsibility is to protect both the public and the city, because the applicant always knows what they want. And anything that we permit or agreed to that produces a significant problem for either the city of Ocala or the surrounding neighbors is questionable, or it wouldn't be special exception issue.
That's right. When it comes, the issue isn't whether this is in a parking exempt zone as the primary focus. It's that this, when we're charged with making a, doing a report, staff report on something that's a special exception, we look at all of the impacts, and it tells us in the code, including the potential economic impacts, and says that the use is generally not presumed to be appropriate without some, you know, some kind of limits to number, type, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that's the purpose of special exception, to manage the impact of this use that might not otherwise be permissible in this area. You've addressed that, you're satisfied with that. Staff's satisfied with their, with these numbers, obviously. Did you have something more to say, Mr. Sumner?
No, I thought we were asking a question about the occupancy load and what it would take and what the building.
Our responsibility here is really suitability. The technical issues are between you and building, and we, you know, if you told us, we probably wouldn't be capable of making decisions based on knowledge. Are there any questions of anybody, staff or otherwise? Do we have any discussion in the board? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept as the staff recommendations are, except for exempting the 40 seats for Bible study. We'll keep that maybe the same as 100 seats for worship.
I'll second that motion, but I'd like to extend the time period since they have some things that they're going to have to correct.
Okay.
In time, so I would like to change that from 6 months as city staff recommended to 1 year.
Okay. We don't need to redo the motion?
No, as long as the person who made the motion agrees to that.
You're acceptable? Are there any further discussion?
So your motion is to allow 100 seats during the week as a part of the special exception, approval of the special exception.
Anytime they're in service, they can have 100 people there, right? 100 seats, okay. That's your perception of that?
Yes.
We have a motion, we have a second. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please. Let's address one question here before. This special exception, as it's presented, goes to the applicant. Is that your motion?
That's what the staff
That's your second?
Recommended.
Yes, as state.
Call the roll, please.
May I ask for clarification?
Yes.
The applicant being the, because the property owner was the applicant.
Well, but it specifically stated that this special exception would be given to the entity. It went out of its way to say that. Did it not somewhere, or am I overlooking that?
The condition was for the applicant's tenant. That's just why I wanted
the applicant's tenant. Okay. That's your limitation of this special exception. That's one of your limitations.
That was staff's recommendation.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify what the motion was intended.
Your motion holds to that. Your second holds
yes.
to that. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Juergens?
Aye.
Mr. Moses?
No.
Mr. Rogers?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye. Motion carries. You may move forward.
Thank you all so much.
Do we have any old business? Well, I guess we could have a motion to adjourn.
No, hang on. Do we need to discuss anything for the future on anything left over from the Bush case, on any, how we proceed in the future if anything like that ever comes up again?
I suppose I'll have
to. Is there anything, Pete, is there any house cleaning we need to do as a board?
Well, I believe that the city attorney and Ty have been working on some of those things and doing some cleanup in the code, taking it back to city council.
Do you feel that at this point in time we should maybe agree among ourselves that if that ever comes forward to have our own legal representation out of the gate?
Well, we would
Because really, Pat's not our lawyer. He's the superintendent.
I understand. Well, Chester was.
But I'm just saying that I think we as a group perhaps should spend, maybe not today, but maybe at the next meeting, just spend 15 or 10 minutes or whatever, maybe looking back at that whole situation and what we could do different as a board. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. But I know we spend a lot of time and a lot of hours and a lot of city staff money and a lot of lawyer money getting to where we were that day.
If you want us to bring back to the next meeting, you know, what we've done, and even if you'd like us to bring the city attorney back to talk about the issue, because his input may be, you know, he has an understanding of the process and the procedure probably
really
a lot better.
I think it warrants some dialogue, because I really don't ever want to go there again, to be honest with you.
Well, I have no problem with that. I mean, because in reality, we went through, did we go through one meeting without representation?
Yeah, you went
the most critical meeting, in my opinion.
The first one.
Well, perhaps so. And there are certain times. I have been here on one other occasion. I would have preferred to have legal representation. And it involved a similar, we had a housing issue that dealt with the historic district in one of these congregate living facilities. And what we were hearing there was presentation from an attorney about law. Now, in that case, Pat Dillian could have represented us, but I think there are times when our decision is impacted noticeably by a legal question, at that point we should have legal representation from city attorneys as long as it's not in conflict. And I think I have a problem addressing, because I can tell you this, it made a huge difference to me. The fact that we had Chester and Tom Dobbins to advise us, because we were in territory that was outside of our normal, pretty much, you know, I still have questions about why it ever came to us and nevertheless did in the way it did. But yes, I support George's general concern.
Would you like us to put that on the agenda for
the
next meeting?
I'd like to address it.
At the appropriate time when that ordinance or whatever, I think we should take a look at it and have opportunity to input. And I mean, I think y'all were in a bad situation, and I think part of it is we might have helped you get in a worse situation by not having legal advice at that first meeting, in my opinion. And that's just how I feel. Now, maybe, you know, if we had a lawyer and we got to the same point, I wouldn't be feeling that way. But I'm kind of feeling that way because we didn't have a lawyer at that first meeting.
Yeah. In my opinion, we'd have probably been in the same place, but that's neither here nor there. If we're going to be in a situation with that much impact or outside of the normal capability of this to casually make a decision. I say casually, I don't know about casually, but nevertheless.
There was nothing casual about that.
Well, I realize that, but typically, if you think about it, most of our issues, pretty obvious, not a huge amount at stake. I'm not sure that's exactly why, but nevertheless, I support the fact that in situations like that, if they ever occur again, I hope I'm gone by then.
And the only time that I can remember, I mean, I'm sure that there are others that I don't remember or that I wasn't here for, that there were challenges to the building officials.
We've had four or five of those.
Yeah.
Interesting. In every case, they were, you know, it was read the code. We agreed in every case with the building official.
Yeah.
In one case, I think the end result was a change of code. Regarding a sign for a Larian Bank. Other than that, we held. And in some of these cases, they were kind of quirky. One of them, there were sign issues. I think every one of them. And in one case, you got one property next door to another one on a street that you can't tell the difference, and the zoning was different. It allowed one man one situation and one another. Those have all not needed the. I think if we have one of this magnitude, it'll be pretty obvious before it rolls out the door, and we will request representation.
You know, not to go down memory lane, but I really think that, and I've got a really good memory, and I can see it in my mind right now that night and how that vote came to. I think the turning point was the fact that their lawyer had sent information to the city manager, and I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but I saw people doing this, and I think the consensus was that night that should have been notice enough, and technically it wasn't, you know what I mean, but I think. If I remember correctly, I think that might have been the moment where the vote might have been changed, is when
I can tell you exactly why I voted like I did. The city continued to be in open negotiation without ever giving a definitive answer, and until the city says either yes or no, I don't know how the applicant would be expected to behave any differently, but that water is under the bridge.
No, but that's good to talk about. We can talk about it.
Yeah, the nuance of the case is in the procedure, that's what you're saying. And you're right, I think, that's, because that's where we all had, hey, are we doing, is this the right way or not the right way? You had to read it several times.
It was read it too, that vote?
Yeah.
We don't have any of those.
You're right, so, yeah, we should talk about it.
And that was an expensive 3-2 vote.
But you know, I think about that, you're right, and I certainly don't want to be wasteful, but our responsibility is to make proper decisions without regard to the cost.
No, but don't take it the wrong way. I'm just saying that was a very, very, in hindsight, we maybe ought to should have tabled it till we got a lawyer. You know, I don't know, but like you said, maybe it wouldn't have changed the vote anyway, I don't know.
Who knows? We can't back up.
But I think it's wise for us to.
I have no problem addressing the issue you're interested in. I think staff will take care of how they want to handle that.
City attorney, see where they go. And I'll talk to Ty, see what he wants to do.
Well, there's, you know, it's just, I had to get it off my chest, and I didn't think about it.
We're going to take that under consideration, George. I can't imagine you and I are agreeing.
Scary, isn't it?
Is there any other business of any kind to talk about tonight?
Is that a record, is that a record?
Never happened before.
It's a landmark.
Well, then we need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We done?
I'm curious, but okay.
Huh? You're curious?
Not yet.
We're all here, but.
Thank you.
All right, Pete. I'll wait one time.